Well, without further ado, time to talk a lot about the NBA Finals, what happened over the weekend with Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley Jr., and even a little bit on the Belmont as Todd Furman joins us. He is the senior race and sportsbook analyst for Caesars Entertainment. Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. It's been a while, but talk about a crazy sports weekend, and what better place to be for all the madness than out here in Las Vegas, although I'm still trying to figure out what actually took place in the ring on Saturday night.
You know, I started out the show by saying we're normally hitting the time where nothing much is going on in sports. We're starting to slow down a little bit. Boom! Man, we had a lot happening over the weekend. Of course, we got the NBA Finals coming up, but Todd, I don't know. I've been around boxing for a long, long time. I've called many fights, and I know there's been shenanigans in the past and a lot of funny business and a lot of shady characters, but please, I can't see this other than the fact that something was amiss. Something was fixed about this. I don't get it.
It's always tough when you talk about conspiracy, especially with boxing and knowing the black eye that the sport has taken recently. This decision, the Paul Williams decision, which I believe was about 18 months ago, you know, curious choices that are made. And I've always been a proponent of boxing being a little more transparent when it comes to finding a way to make the scores public after each round, not doing it shrouded in darkness. And then after the fight, we go, well, wait a second, how exactly did you arrive at that result? It's almost like a youth t-ball game that nobody knows the score until it's over, and then we declare everyone a winner.
Right.
How much action do you guys get on these fights out there? Is it anything close to what it used to be? And then when you have a decision like this, how many angry people do you have to deal with?
We've seen a decline in our boxing handle when you talk about some of the second tier fights. The big fights like Saturday night and with the big names, especially a Floyd Mayweather or a Manny Pacquiao, draw plenty of attention, but it's definitely lost some of its luster as you talk about the growth in MMA and the increased gambling handle we'll see there. A decision like Saturday, in all honesty, for us, we're just along for the ride. We booked the fight, and the judges chose to score it the way they did, and we pay out accordingly. Stuff for us that creates a lot bigger headache are incidents like the Utah-USC game, where the game went final, scores are changed, and things of that nature. This boxing thing just leaves us scratching our head, more for the sport than it is for the bookmaking industry.
Okay, so at Caesars, let me try to get this straight here. What I had heard over the weekend, that in Vegas, basically the number was minus 400 for Pac-Man, then went up to minus 440, and then all of a sudden a lot of money went on Bradley on Friday, and it dropped below minus 400. Is that correct, and was that what happened at Caesars?
That's correct. The number came down, but that's not uncommon when you talk about these big fights, because typically what the betting pattern looks like is the casual fan who wants to bet his $50 or $100, he's going to take a shot on the underdog, hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, while the larger casino customers will play the heavy favorite. It's a numbers game more than anything else, because when you talk about a minus 450 favorite and you're betting $100, nobody wants to bet just to win $22 or $23.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look to put their $100 down, try and get $350 coming back. So there were no irregularities when you talk about the boxing line movement. Obviously, given the outcome, of course, it comes under a little more scrutiny than normal, but it's definitely a typical betting pattern for what we see for fights.
And we're looking quite a bit into the future here, but for a rematch here, would Pacquiao become even a bigger favorite?
That's the irony in all this. Hard to make Manny, not to make Manny a bigger favorite than what we saw in this fight. There was nothing I saw in the ring in terms of a tactical advantage that makes me think Tim Bradley can exploit Manny's weaknesses. The only question one has is how motivated is Manny at this point in his career, and is he just looking for a payday at this point rather than actually trying to go out there and regain his title?
All right, well, you've been around controversy before out there in Vegas with the boxing world, and Arum comes out, who, again, I don't know if it was a conflict of interest anyway because he's involved with both these fighters, but he comes out and says there's going to be an investigation, this, that. Now, I read a story today where there's not. The Nevada Boxing Commission says they're not going to investigate. How do you not investigate?
Bob Arum has played good cop, bad cop a number of times, and I won't claim to be a boxing historian and talk about some of the tactics that he's used to try and generate interest. But you have to wonder what's going on and how a fight like this reflects not only the gaming commission but the sport as a whole. The unfortunate reality is that the boxing continues to die a slow death, and events like what transpired Saturday night definitely don't help bring it back to the public eye for the right reasons.
You mentioned earlier with the growth of MMA. By comparison level, when you have the big MMA events with some of their top guys versus a big boxing, as far as the betting goes and the interest out there, how does it compare right now?
The MMA, it's starting to grow a little bit more. I would equate most MMA fights outside of some of the big title fights probably to a typical college basketball game for overall handle. A fight like we saw Saturday night with Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, you're talking more like an NFL playoff game with overall betting handle, just to put it in perspective.
All right, one other thing about the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, and we'll talk NBA Finals. I want to talk a little Belmont as well, but you were saying that the betting pattern was not anything out of the usual because it's, you know, a person would has their 40, 50 bucks, they're going to throw it on the long shot to try to win some money as opposed to winning $22. But I would imagine that if there was a big lump sum of money from, like, one person, that's when it becomes, your ears start to perk a little bit? Is that when...
There's no doubt about it, though. We have safeguards in place to protect not only our corporate interests, but also the integrity of the sport. So if there's a lot of irregularities in a betting pattern, we make sure we go about alerting the right people to these things. I think for a fight like this, if there was anything out of the ordinary, it would have come in on a Timothy Bradley split decision type prop. Mm-hmm. If someone had known the outcome ahead of time. You talk about what we've seen in the past for soccer match fixing and predicting the exact score. That's when you notice some irregularities, when you see all sorts of money coming in on results that nobody really foresees.
All right, I don't know how much action you get on the horse racing, but with the Triple Crown on the line going into the week, going into the race at Belmont, I would imagine there was a lot of people that were interested. Then all of a sudden, I'll have another is scratched. What did that do for the handle out there with the Belmont?
It was absolutely devastating for our expectations. The Belmont has kind of become the forgotten jewel in the Triple Crown. The Kentucky Derby, far and away the busiest day in our sports book when you talk about horse racing. But we anticipated that the Belmont was going to be up year over year, and rightfully so, had I'll Have Another been out there. But I think once he was scratched on Friday, under what I deem very curious circumstances, it took a little bit of the betting handle. You know, we just couldn't get anywhere close to what we anticipated.
It is, yeah. There are some people that were very curious about that whole situation too. So there are a lot of conspiracy theories, I guess, going on in the world of sports this weekend.
No doubt about it. There was no shortage of excitement when you talk about some of the events and two sports that probably needed to be in the public eye as much as possible in the likes of boxing and horse racing.
Looking at the NBA Finals, the Thunder, the favorite in Game 1 and in this series, what do you guys have at it right now, and where is, as far as the series goes, where has most of the money been coming in?
A series price opened at minus 165. It's been bet up a little bit to minus 170. The opening number for Game 1, the Thunder are a five-point favorite. I actually believe that the series price may be a bit inflated when you talk about the Heat and some of the scorn that they've drawn from the media. You know, my true numbers on this series probably made it closer to 140 or 150, but we wanted to open it a little bit higher in anticipation of where the public would come in, and they've come in that way, betting Oklahoma City and laying the price. I think when you look at the 2-3-2 format, it changes the dynamic quite a bit because it really puts pressure on the home team who win both of those first two games to ensure at least getting a chance to come back home to protect that lead.
I don't like it either. I understand when people complain about all the travel, but you're right. The pressure is on this home team, who has the home court advantage, has done everything they needed to do to get the home court advantage. All they do is lose one, and they could be beaten with three straight wins by the opponent with never having to go back to their home court.
No doubt about it. It changes things quite a bit. And if the NHL can fly from New Jersey to L.A. for a traditional 2-2-1-1-1 format, there's no reason the NBA can't do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And if they're that concerned about it, maybe add an extra day. We know the NBA is not afraid to drag things out. So to try and say they want to save on travel for the players' legs, I'm just not buying some of
that. Yeah, I'm with you.
With that format of the 2-3-2, does the home court advantage have less of a factor when you're setting the series price?
I think from a bookmaking standpoint, we have to set them the exact same way. I think from an intangible standpoint, it's a little bit different, and the handicapper can try and gain an edge. But as soon as I try and anticipate adjusting 5 to 10 cents worth of value into a number, based on the format. Inevitably, I'll take a sharp bet by creating a difference that wasn't truly factored into the equation.
How even do you consider these two? If, say, this whole series was played on a neutral site, where would the Thunder still be the favorite?
I think the Thunder would probably be about a minus 115 to minus 120 favorite, so ever so slight. You talk about the way the number will probably shift. You'll see Miami, assuming it, whether it's 1-1 or 2-0 Miami, you'll see the Heat is about a 3 to 3.5 point favorite for Game 3 when the venue changes. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to the strength of Oklahoma City's home court, arguably the toughest home court venue for opponents to come in there. I think that's a credit to the fans in Oklahoma City and the fervent basketball culture they've really created.
Todd Furman, the senior race and sportsbook analyst for Caesars Entertainment, joining us here on Sports 56 Middays. Just for kicks here, how about if the Spurs had beaten the Thunder? What do you think they would have been as far as a favorite against the Heat?
The Spurs probably would have been a little bit higher than what we're seeing for the Thunder. San Antonio was a minus $2 favorite against Oklahoma City, and I think I was surprised as anyone to see the Thunder solve the Spurs riddle and rattle off four straight wins against a team who looked like they were going to go on one of the greatest NBA playoff runs we'd ever seen. But so much changes with public perception, and Oklahoma City truly has become the it team right now, and you see that reflected in the price.
Do you guys offer a lot of the player props for the series?
We will. We'll try and highlight a lot of the marquee names, and in a series like this, it makes it a lot easier to talk about LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant. So we'll have plenty of different betting options in terms of which props we'll use each night. Those are up for debate. We have a rough idea, though, of where we're going to hang a lot of these, even though that we haven't opened them up for betting just yet.
Do you have a series MVP, and is Durant the favorite, I would have to assume?
We actually don't have a series MVP, only because it's voted upon, and it's determined and not actual on-court result.
Todd, do you break it down also where people can bet whether a certain team wins in four games, five games, six games, seven games?
Yep, we do have individual props like that to try and predict the outcome. And when you talk about a series like this, to put it in perspective, the sweep for the Oklahoma City Thunder is about a 10 or 11 to 1 shot. The Heat, obviously, a little bit higher, having to go on the road and win those games at 15 to 1. The most likely outcome for us is the Thunder to win in 6 or 7, and for the Heat, it's for them to close it out in 5.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think a lot of people expect a long series, and obviously with those two games at home, certainly. We were talking earlier about what boxing. How much interest does the NBA Finals get from a betting perspective?
It creates quite a buzz, especially when you have major teams like this. We anticipate a pretty healthy betting handle. For us, the best-case scenario is always to get the Lakers involved in the NBA Finals just because of our proximity to Southern California. And inevitably we'll be flooded with a sports book filled with purple and gold. But I think for this series, just because of all the star power, we'll see some pretty good betting numbers, especially for the games over the weekend.
Throughout the season, the Heat have as much star power as anybody, but as you mentioned, they're not exactly liked, and a lot of people don't like LeBron James. So do you see more betting against the Miami Heat because there's a general dislike for them?
People can say one thing publicly, but their betting dollars against a lot differently. So it's one of those things that you come on and say, yeah, I hate the Heat, and yet 15 out of 20 people that you talk to will actually have a Heat ticket in their pocket when you talk about trying to make an extra buck. I like to equate it to folks who are playing dice. You sit there, you keep your mouth shut when you're playing the don't pass line, but you know a good investment, and you're not going to pass it up just because you have hatred for a particular player.
Exactly. There's no such thing as a spite bet when it's going to cost you money, man. You're not just doing it because you don't like the person. You're doing whatever it is that you think you can make money off of. That's the bottom line.
No doubt about it, and I was going to say it. Like I tell a lot of the gamblers that come in, if you're going to bet with your heart, you'll find your money soon separated from your wallet.
I was noticing on Twitter today a lot of people tweeting about opening or some college football lines for the year. Do you guys have college football game lines, any of them out yet?
Well, we don't have any college football game lines, and I have to give credit to my colleague Tony Miller at the Golden Nugget. This is a task that he's taken on each of the last handful of years. Him and his staff do a tremendous job to get out some of these opening numbers. From speaking to people, he anticipates they'll do about $250,000 in handle alone on just some of these betting numbers by being first to the market. And it's a great exercise. It creates the buzz. But unfortunately, we don't hang opening numbers. our week one college football stuff will probably come up in the middle of August.
Okay, as I see is when you guys do. Because, I mean, that's just, to me, is an impossible task of trying to set college football lines right now and trying to that seems extremely difficult in the business you guys are in.
Plus, people are desperate if they want to make those picks right now. I mean, you know, they want to wait and get as much information as they can.
No doubt about it. I think the wise guys use this as a tool to try and take positions early. There are obviously going to be sides that they see bookmakers are overvaluing or undervaluing on these opening numbers. And these aren't really true positions where anybody will keep these bets. Basically to try and take advantage of a number that you think is 5 to 6 points off. But with injuries and so much change, and as we've seen on the college landscape, suspensions now that have become all too often an occurrence, so much can change, and unless you can tie your money up for 6-7 months, the casual fan really doesn't do a whole lot with them.
Todd, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Have a terrific summer. I'm sure we'll be talking to you before the kickoff of the NFL and college football season.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the slow season, but hopefully you're at least taking in some soccer to try and pass some of the idle time.
Yeah, I'm watching France and England even at one right now. Thank you, Todd.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Todd Furman, he's the senior race and sportsbook analyst for Caesars Entertainment.